receivers. Don't miss this opportunity to study the Epistles of John with Pastor Arnold Murray. The city. Okay. It's important that you know when God said, come out of her, my people, what it is you're supposed to come out of. You need to identify it. You need to document it. Because that's, he didn't say it because he said, maybe you should come out of her. He said, get out of her. Come out away from there. Away from what? I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to Revelation chapter 17. Great chapter, book, meaning to reveal, to make known. Let's take a little look at Babylon and let's first identify what she is. Chapter 17, verse 1, Revelation, and it reads, with that word of wisdom from our Father, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come here, get over here. I will show thee, unto thee, the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. What's he going to show us? The whore? No, the judgment. Okay. What's going to happen to her? Verse 2. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Who are these kings of the earth? They're not supernatural entities. I want you to know that. You've learned that in the last couple of years real good. They're our own leaders. They're our own rulers in flesh bodies upon this earth. And they like to play with her. They like to gain popularity through her. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Now those are supernatural. Those are not kings of the earth. Those are not people of the earth. That's Satan and his ten little kings he's going to bring with him. All right. They are supernatural. 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Her doing business with the world. Okay. What kind of business? Well, what she peddles has no value other than its delicacies. Okay. We'll document that before this lecture is over with. 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Well, that makes it pretty simple, doesn't it? She is Mystery Babylon. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. That's to say, with astonishment. And you should when you take a real close look at her. Now let God interpret for you what she is. That's why we came here. I want you to know who she is and what she is. Skip all the way down to verse 18. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. It's a city. Mystery Babylon, the great harlot, is a city. When God interprets it for you, it's not up for you to play ball with, okay, or games. Because God, if he interprets it for you, I'm sorry, that's it. Now, what does he mean, a city? Well, what does it take to run a city? You've got to have a mayor. You've got to have your political structure. You've got to have banking. You've got to have schools for education. Do you understand I'm giving you the four hidden dynasties now? And also religion. Well, I mean, you've got to have several churches on the corners of those streets in that city. So it takes the whole pot of end time harlotry away from the true word of God, with people playing church and playing town. Some little lady, I can't forget what her name was, wrote a book, It Takes a City. I don't think she had any idea what she was talking about. No idea whatsoever. No conception. But anyway, it takes the whole smash. What is it you're supposed to come out of the city? The harlot. The one that misleads. The one that will take advantage of you. And what's new under the sun? Nothing. Let's go all the way back to Genesis. All the way back to Genesis in the great book. Now that you know, I hope there's not a soul in here that has a problem with the fact that Sister Babylon is a city. Okay? And now we need to look at the structure of the city. Well, what was one of the first cities? Well, let's take a look here. Genesis chapter 4, verse 16. You all have heard of Cain. He's the father of the Kenites. Okay? Verse 16, chapter 4. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. He did what? Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. That's something you don't ever want to do. There can be no good connected with it. If you go out from the presence of the Lord, you're probably in the presence of Satan. You just don't do that. Cain loved it. He went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. Now that means dedicated. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. So, again, man, who built the city away from God and started it? Cain did. So, some of the city managers you'd better be on guard for are the Kenites then, right? For they are builders of cities. They love it. And it's not new. I mean, what we just read is from the fourth chapter of Genesis. Now, turn with me to the ninth chapter of Genesis. Let's go for 10. What do you say while we're at it? It won't hurt. Okay, make it chapter 10. Let's pick it up with verse 8. Genesis chapter 10, verse 8, and it reads, "And Cush begat Nimrod." That means rebellion. And boy, he was a rebel, all right. "He began to be a mighty one in the earth." I want you to make real sure you log in your mind, mighty one, great one, mighty one. We're going to run across that sometimes today. Builder of cities. Great harlot. Come out of her. Get away from her. "He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord." 10, "And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel." These are cities that he built. This probably is his capital. "And Erech, and Akkad, and Calna, in the land of Shinar." Do you know what Shinar means in the Hebrew tongue? It means the land of two rivers. Do you know what rivers? It's Babylonia. It's the Tigris and the Euphrates. Do you know this is the city Babylon. Let me tell you something else. The word Erech, as it's used here, is by the deeper scholars, it is a city called Arak. Arak, I said. There's nothing new under the sun. It means, Erech means length. Okay. And that city was changed through the time to Iraq, the name of the town. Not spelt like Iraq today, I-R-A-K. Your Smith's Bible Dictionary will help you out on that if you want to check up on Eric. Okay, and so, where is this city? Well, that's Sister Babylon. There's no great mystery in that. What's happening in Iraq today? Much of the policy is being operated right out of the old city Babylon. We had a change of command from our military the other day when things cooled down a little bit, handed over to the Polish military and a contingency of multinational troops. And it took place in Babylon. The bricks you saw, that was the old city Babylon, right in your press every day. It's happening. What does it take to run a city? Well, a mayor, the townspeople, a bank. They get you all tied up if you're not careful. You've got to be wiser than the serpent. So you see, there's nothing new under the sun about the city. Turn on with me to chapter 11. And the whole earth was of one language and one speech. They all spoke the same language, every last one of them. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. You know where Shinar is again? It's Babylon. Okay. Babylonia. Land of two rivers, or the country of two rivers. And they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. I mean, the place is still there, still makes pretty good brick, okay? And they said, go to and let us build us a city, and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Man has always wanted to work out his own salvation. We don't need God. When man gathers together to plan salvation to heaven and leaves God out of the picture, somebody's headed for a big, big fall. And we're coming to that time today where God is throwing in the faces of people prophecies that are coming to pass. And, well, isn't that something? Wonder what it means. Well, that's why you need to get in your Father's Word. Father is ringing some chimes. Have you answered the bell yet? Okay. How many times do you have to go down? Don't ever try to work your own salvation. You see, they've just had the flood. You understand? And they said, all we got to do is build us a huge tower where we can get up out of the water. And we'll be safe. We'll be in heaven. Man can get some of the most harebrained ideas in man's traditions and his beautiful thoughts, supposedly, to outwit God, when it's so simple to please our Father and be loved of Him, is to go around with a bunch of goofy, and listen to a bunch of goofy people, try to find a way. Well, you know, like cloning. If we clone, we can just reclone, clone, clone, you'll live forever. Don't count on it. Okay. If you want... And let us make us a name. There you go. You should have one already. Today it should be Christian. Lest we be scattered abroad from the face of the whole earth. Again, when men gather together without God, I guarantee you He's going to scatter them. Big time. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And it'll bring Him down. You work on it too much and you leave Him out, He's coming back. And I'm going to tell you, I think we're very close to that time when He's about had it with us. I think when Mars approached the earth so closely that the war started when it was at its closest, our blasted federal court took the Ten Commandments out of the Alabama Supreme Court, and the war began. The war is on. We're not taking it. We're going to draw a line in the sand. There's no sense in that. They've got the Ten Commandments in the Supreme Court. Why can't they be in Alabama? They can be. There is not one word written in our Constitution that prevents those Ten Commandments, the law, being in the house of law for that state. And it cannot be left standing as it is. I will not digress, but things are changing. People are jumping on the wagon, friend, not off, but on the wagon, and things are getting done, all right? They went too far, that's the thing, and they know it. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. They're in their own little minds, okay? Go to and let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. And that's exactly what happened. But that's exactly what happens when the Holy Spirit returns. When you're delivered up before the spurious Messiah, our tongue will come back, and you will speak a tongue that everyone will understand. It will not be. There will be no need of translators, because it will be spoken in the tongue of every nation, person, and being. Because it will not be we that speak, but Almighty God. He can straighten things out, and I guarantee you, He's going to straighten things out. What did He do when people gathered together to provide their own salvation? 8, so the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore the name of it is called Babel, confusion. Because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth. It hadn't happened again that they all came together in one tongue, except for through the United Nations, or the League of Nations. Prior to that, they put the little things in your ear, and what a poor, miserable excuse that is for the true voice of God. It's going to change. We're coming to that time. We're not playing church. God is coming down, and He's going to take care of business. Come out of the city. I'm not talking about a literal town here, so I don't want a bunch of people to say, well, we're going to move out to your farm. I got too many cattle and stuff that I don't have room for you. Okay, but mentally come out of the city. That's the four hidden dynasties. And they're there waiting for you. Every day. Hey, they plot all night, my friend. They even tally your numbers of where you travel and how much fuel you buy and how much fuel you burn in the winter, and it's all sacked up and woven in a big basket where we know exactly how to handle them. I wonder if you really believe that here we were all chugging along and fuel wasn't all that bad. We got quite a bit of it, you know. But it comes Labor Day like it does every year. And what happened? We had a terrible shortage. A pipeline busted in Arizona. Hooray! That must have been one gusher, if you ask me, because it put a shortage all over the United States, and the price at the pumps doubled. Well, whose pocket do you think that went in, all right? I mean, they got your number, friend. And they weave it up. And they do it real good. Okay. Just make sure that you don't fall into their little church next door. Because every town's got to have one. Okay. That's their religion. Don't be sucked in by it. She's a city. And it's her administration that you want to be very very careful of. All right, now let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 25. Let's you know, we know, God knows what's going down. Where I'm taking you is where God's cup of wrath is going to get poured out. Do you know when that is? That's the end. It doesn't happen until the end. So the prophecy we're reading is about the very end right here. Jeremiah chapter 25. God's not worried about people drinking this cup. He says they're going to drink it, whether they like it or not. It's going down. And it is the cup of God's wrath. And it is absolutely putting things back in order. See if any of this sounds familiar to you. Chapter 25, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. I don't know, has he sent you somewhere? Have you drawn a line? Do you take a stand? Can God count on you? You know, what does he mean, pour it out? Through the Holy Spirit. Are you going to allow the Holy Spirit to speak a language that puts everything back in one language and straightens things out, both sons and daughters? That cup of wrath will pour through the lips of God's children, and things will solidify into ultimately his kingdom, for the king is returning. And they shall drink and be moved and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them. What sword is that? Revelation chapter 1 verses 16 and 17. The sword is a two-edged sword that comes from the mouth of Jesus Christ. It cuts both ways. It is the Holy Spirit that will come from your mouth. That sword will not allow lies to stand. And those trials will be held worldwide. We're coming to that time, my friend. You've got to be ready. You've got to know that you have a destiny and a purpose, that God can count on you. It is written. Have you read it? Then took I the cup at the Lord's hand and made all the nations to drink unto whom the Lord had sent me. Who did he send him to? Listen carefully. This is prophecy. To wit, Jerusalem, and to the cities of Judah, and the kings thereof, and the princes thereof, to make them a desolation, and an astonishment, and hissing, and a curse, as it is this day. That's to say, those that are not in the camp of the Lord, okay? Verse 19, Pharaoh, king of Egypt. What's going to happen to Egypt? Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and his servants, and his princes, and all his people. I'm going to tell you something. Religion, Christianity, is a reality. But a religion that wishes to die to kill Christians is not of God. Period. Okay. It's dreamed up of Satan and man. If you think I'm talking about all that are in the Islamic faith, you're mistaken. It's just those, however many it is, that want others to die in the name of their God. Well, they haven't read our word, and they certainly don't have any faith in our word, because our word reads a little different than that. Boy, are they going to get it. Okay? And do you know something else? Thank God for our fighting men and women. They're already getting it. Okay? 20. And all the mingled people, and all the kings of the land of Uz, and all the kings of the land of the Philistines, and Ashkelon, and Azza. You know where Azza is? That's the Gaza Strip. And Ekron, torn by the roots, he says it'll be. and the remnant of Ashdod. 21, Edom, we go to Rush, Russia, and Moab, and the children of Ammon, those that like to claim to be with us, and they never quite make it. Never quite get there. And all the kings of Tyrus and all the kings of Zidon. Here you have your Kenites and their establishment of commerce, the ships of Tarshish, the mariners of the sea, and the kings of the isle which are beyond the sea, all of them. Drink and be happy. I don't think it'll make them happy, God's wrath. I think it might get their attention. But whether they like it or whether they lump it, good, bad, ugly, and all in between, the cup will be poured. And guess who's going to do the pouring with the help of God? 23, Dedan and Kema, southern Russia, and Buzz, and all that are in the utmost corners. Not going to miss out on anybody. And all the kings of Arabia, and all the kings of the mingled people that dwell in the desert, all the people that claim to be of that faith, the kings of Arabia are going to be straightened out. They're going to drink of the cup. They're going to find out who Yahweh is. Well, are you talking against any certain people? I'm reading Bible, haven't you noticed? This is Scripture. This is God's Word. This is how it's going to be. Well, what if there happens to be a Christian in any one of those places? Safe as a little hummingbird in its nest. God is not going to singe or hurt anyone that is innocent. That's not the way He does business, and that's not the way you do business. God takes care of His own, and God's people are a gentle people, just like He is. But when God gives marching orders, we march. We get it done. We always have. You know, there are many of us that have been in branches of the service that have had to protect this nation from the conception. The fighting has always been on a distant shore, and I'm glad. I'm glad it was kept there. And finally, the chickens came home to roost. And maybe it was time for a little education that there are dangerous people in this world, and they've always been kept away from our homeland, basically. And I thank God for the fact that He is always with us, and we always win. Many might say, well, what about you in Korea and the Vietnam? We broke the back of communism. Okay? Period. It was very successful. It's just that the city likes to have you believe otherwise. But they haven't hardly got a leg to stand on or a window to throw it out. Okay? They're broken. But they will be back. Never mind. They will be back. 25. And all the kings of Zimri. This particular verse pertains to the children of Keturah, Abraham's second wife, okay? And all the kings of Elam, and all the kings of the Medes. This is the family that Moses married into. 26. And all the kings of the north, far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world. Well, how many kingdoms do we have in this world? All of them. They're going to drink it. Those that need it, which are upon the face of the earth. Now, beloved, this is why we came here, so really sharpen up for me. And the king of Shishak shall drink after them. He will drink last. Now, who is this king of Shishak? This is a hidden message in the manuscripts, okay? It is where you take, it is an acrostic, and it's where you take the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet and make it the first. And you move the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet to make it the last. Okay, are you with me? All the way through. And then you spell Shishak. And what it really comes out in Hebrew letters is BBL. And we find BBL etched in rocks and documentaries all over this nation and others. Babylon, that's what it means. Babylon. Babylon will be last. And don't forget it, that's important. The last one to drink will be Babylon. Well, why would God do that? The cup is a cup of correction. And when you speak out in that fresh tongue, you all know I'm talking about the tongue delivered by the Holy Spirit as in Mark chapter 13, okay? So that you're all with me here. When that tongue comes out, it is not to harm people, but to help people. People that never had a chance to know and learn will hear directly from the lips of God through His children the real truth, to give them an opportunity to say, I see it. I see the truth. I see that city. And I come out of her. So the last one to drink, of course, is BBL. Because she will hold that course. But even those of BBL, Babel, confusion, if they come out of confusion, they are no longer children of tares or of any other group, but children of God. And so it shall be. But Babylon, that city, is the last one that will drink of the cup of God's wrath. In a sense, my friend, you need to meditate on that thought. And you need to look around you in the world today of people drinking from a cup. Not, and I'm not saying the cup is already poured, but I'm saying, look at what is happening to people. Watch your markets, especially if you're investing. But watch everything and see what's being poured out upon the nations. And I predict that when this political campaign that's coming about to come out, when we see so-called really representatives of our nation running for high office, like even president, and they condemn our soldiers in the field and even up to the high command, they welcome and are comforting and abating the enemy. They're giving them comfort. Never before in history has that happened. I know some will claim it has. When? I've been around a long time. I didn't see it happen. World War II, when we got to the coast, from there out, we were one nation. It doesn't seem to be that way anymore. Why? Well, we got a third of the people Satan deceived in the first earth age living now. Their little old hearts, pitter-patter, pitter-patter. So you better be ready. And you better know who you should trust and who you should not trust. Come out of her, my people. What it means is, come out of confusion. You're not stupid. You have a mind. Use it. Don't be deceived. The deception is set up and it's working just fine. You know, it is really sad, and it is almost shocking when you see how easily large numbers of people can be deceived. I mean, they'll go with it. I mean, I have nothing against California. It was good to me. I used to have a mattress factory there and made a lot of money and was happy and so forth. But I went back not too awful long ago, and I didn't recognize it. In the military there, directed air traffic all over that part of the country, I didn't recognize it. I really didn't. It's a disgrace. Maybe I'm being a little hard, but I think it is. I really think it is. That the way people do not care about each other and are so very misled into socialism. Especially when you look, to show you how easily people can be misled, Never in history has there been a successful communist or socialist nation succeed. Well, we do have Cuba. Okay, it's still a communist and it's still there. But if we didn't feed them, they'd kind of be in bad shape. You know, we did open the granaries back up again this past week. I don't resent that. I really don't. I don't like to see people suffer. But it's really shaky when you see how easily people can be misled. Keep your eyes on and your ears turned right up, my friend. Observe these prophecies on Arabia, Egypt, and Jerusalem. It's a mess what's happening in Jerusalem. It's a disgrace of people blowing themselves to bits. You know, what kind of civilization can you call that? I mean, really, look at it. Be aware of it. That you're not what God intended, okay? So we've got some things very bad wrong. Babylon will be the last to partake of the cup for the reasons forementioned. Verse 27, therefore, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink ye and be drunken, and spew and fall and rise no more because of the sword which I will send among you. It's going to be pretty final, my friend. God's sword is His truth, and we're not taking any, we don't take prisoners. We're not given on any quarter. It's over. And you know what? It will save a lot of people. Okay, that may not ring true, but it will. And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup at thine hands to drink, then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ye shall certainly drink. Like it, lump it. Good or whatever. You're going to drink it. Why? God's returning. He's in charge. He's got some good people. You're part of them. He knows He can count on them. And thank God for that. Thank God for His Word. For lo, I began to bring evil on the city. What city is that? You know. Which is called by My name, and should ye be utterly unpunished, ye shall not be unpunished, for I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Lord of hosts. Okay, and so it is. Those prophecies are beginning to come to pass. The people of Arabia are being badly misled. You know, when you train little children that are in kindergarten to practice the death song, to kill people, to cause themselves to perish and teach that as going to heaven. That's a sad state of affairs. That's satanic. And it's happening. Again, I'm not knocking any religion. That's just a cold, hard fact, my friend, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist, or you don't have to be the sharpest knife in the drawer to figure that one out. Okay? It's just not civilized. So, there you have prophecy concerning the nations. Now, let's go let's return to the great book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 18, this is where we left off this Passover. This is where our Heavenly Father would tell you, come out of her. Don't be a part of her. Come out of her, My people. And let's just pick it up with verse 4 and roll with it a little bit here. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, My people, that you may not be partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Again, I don't need to remind you we're talking about a city, do I? Now, we've hammered that to death, haven't we? But you don't want to forget, all right? the city, the harlot, I'm sorry, the harlot is the city. Okay, five. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. It's time. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works in the cup which he hath filled to her double. Give her the first fruits of sin. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and seeth and shall see no sorrow. That's what she says. Okay? All her traffic, though, I want you to remember, are delicacies. Nothing of really any value. Okay? Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. I'm looking forward to that day. How about you? It's the Lord's day. Death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Now get ready. Hang on. Verse 9 is one of the four hidden dynasties. Verse 9 is the hidden dynasty of finance. Right here on good old earth. And the king, I'm sorry, political rather. Political. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Even though she's destroyed, the political party is not going to give up. That's the kings of the earth, okay? Bosses of the earth. Great men of the earth. That's your dynasty of the political. It's powerful, my friend. It's deceiving and it is misleading. Verse 10, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, and here she is called a city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. Get ready for another dynasty. Verse 11, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. What does it take to run a city? Merchants, mayors, police. And Sister Babylon is no different than any of the rest. Here comes the one I mentioned a while ago, the hidden dynasty of finance. Verse 12, the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls, of fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble. I mean, right down, still nothing of any real value, all delicacies. But the world of finance, silver, gold, we'll control it. Figure out where they're all going and we'll be there. We'll make it easy for them to buy a Coke. Okay. Or anything else they want. We'll fix them. All right. Now, is there anything wrong with commerce? Not if it's done honestly. Okay. But don't get involved with the commerce of this city or you'll end up a loser. Why? God said, come out. Don't have anything to do with it. Verse 13, and cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat. What are these ingredients containing? Religion. And beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men. Is your saved? Do you know Jesus? Is your soul saved? No, how are you doing? You want to join our church? You need to join our church. Come on down to the little corner and we'll indoctrinate you. I'm not knocking churches, but that's what this is. It's the dynasty of religion. And they wind people up and make them, they tell them, you're okay. Just love the Lord and you will be saved. You don't have to understand His Word, His letter. Just listen to us. You don't even have to understand Revelation. How many of you know what I'm about to say? Because you're going to be gone. Okay, you're out of here, child. Well, you know, now anybody that would believe that kind of stuff is, I hate to say it, but God called them in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 18. He said, "My poor children are a little bit sottish." You know what that means? My poor kids are just a little bit stupid. You roll it, they'll smoke it. It's a mess. Okay, well, watch out for your soul, my friend. That's the religious hidden dynasty, and she is part of that city. And they're bewailing her. Can you imagine? They're crying over her. When we defeat her, they're still going to be crying about her. Think about that. That should give you encouragement to really go on. And here comes the education. All right, a little tricky, but hang on for me, all right? And the fruits that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. Now, if you have trouble with that, the word fruits that... your little soul, I repeat, soul, your mind, your spirit, your intellect, lusted after. Do you ever watch Oprah on television? Well, it's the Greek word Oprah. Okay? Oprah on television has nothing to do with this. Okay? But that's what the word, Greek word is. And do you know what it means? Those that lust after the dog days. Do you know what the dog days are? The closing days, the closing hour, the last hour, educating themselves to the return of Christ and exactly how it would come to pass. The first ripe fruits, okay, that there was no fruits there. They educated themselves in the wrong direction. If you got it, you go with their dynasty of education, and you're going to come up short. You're going to be lusting after the very time, but it will already have... In other words, when this is written, the tense that this is in, is Babylon has already fallen, and they're still griping about it. They're still crying about it. They think they're right. That's sad, you know, but it is true, okay? And verse 15, so that takes care of the four hidden dynasties. You got it? They make up the city. And you've got to be very careful. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. I mean, they're a group of sad sacks that it all went down the tube. And what is worse yet, in their mind, is a group of people that nobody even recognized before destroyed it for them. That's God's elect, with the Holy Spirit speaking through them and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour," that's the return of Christ, "so great riches has come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the companies and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off." These are mercenaries, Kenites, ships of Tarshish, mariners, 18, "and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is likened to this great city?" They've built it, they've woven it together like a fine basket, my friend. They hate to give up. But it's gone. Drink, rascal, drink. Okay? "And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate." There wasn't one thing they hauled on those ships that wasn't a delicacy, something fancy. Not something really useful. Rejoice over her, thou heavens, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. Now you stay awake for me. Got a little bump coming in the road here, and I want you awake for it. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. When it's over, it's over. The lady sings the song, all right? It's gone. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman or whatever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. I mean, their four little old hidden dynasties are kaput. Maybe I better ask some German what that means. I think it's okay. I think it means just blowed up. I don't know. I hope so. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. I remember one time I was talking about, God, you can bet your bippy on that. And a Canadian came down and said, you really ought to not say that. And I said, I've heard it all my life, you can bet your bippy on that. He said, do you know what you're saying? And I said, no. He said, what you're saying is you can sure bet your outhouse on that. And I thought, whoa, how about those apples? I didn't know. Okay. Anyway, in languages you want to be careful. I'm sorry, I digress. And I come right to the place I want you to really be sharp for me, okay? Listen carefully. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy merchants were the great men. You underline it. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, not heaven, not supernatural, the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. She's guilty. But it is the great men of the earth. You know, we've had great men, and this doesn't have anything to do with Jeba, okay? This is politicians. This is men that rule over you, so to speak. That's what runs the town, the mayor, and from there on down, the police departments, and they rule. Now, in closing, I want to go one more time to these great men of the earth, all right? I want to go to Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7, we just covered this in the minor prophets. And in closing, it reads, Micah chapter 7 in the minor prophets, verse 2. I'm going to start with verse 1 while you all are turning there. Woe is me, for I am as when they had gathered as the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage, and there is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. I lusted after that. I wanted it. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. You know, some people believe that. Do your brother before he does you. It's biblical. It's not. Okay, that's not biblical. Right? That they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward. That's a bribe. And the great man, here we go, he uttereth his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. They weave it in a fancy basket and pass it off to you, wanting a bribe. Hey, we can do anything. What is it you want? Money, money, money. Crooked, crooked, crooked. The great men of the earth, watch them. It's time they were put out of business. And we have enough to do it. Just keep alert, okay? The best of them is as a briar, and the most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh. Who shall be now shall be their perplexity. Now let's fix the time on this, and then I'm going to close. Trust ye not in a friend, put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother. It's when you're delivered up to witness, in other words. You got it? It means the end. That's the way they are. That is the city. And that is your four hidden dynasties. So innocent. You're just doing business. Boy, I'm with hope. Listen. There, don't and understand what I'm saying. I encourage people to start businesses in a town. That's fine if that's what you want to do. Nothing wrong with that. Okay. It's when you allow the leadership to begin saying, "Well, if you really want to be blessed, we'll bless your business. Hey, this is no problem. Just join our club. Be with us. Be one of us." There's some things you can't be one of anymore, beloved, if you really value your soul. You've got to draw the line, because God said, "Come out of her, my people." So be ready for that. They can't have you. There's too many important things that you must do. Remember, we have to put the enemy under the feet of Christ, and naturally with his help. It's no problem. We can do it. That's no step for a stepper. When God is helping you, there's nothing can stand against you. The city, Babylon, don't let her tentacles run out and get too deep into your family. Watch her. Watch her like a hawk. And be ready to serve our Father against those four hidden dynasties. Don't forget, the nations that we pour the cup on, we've already begun pouring. You know, God has given us quite a platform, and I thank Him for it, that we are able to pour some pretty good stuff on a lot of people that need correction, not for wickedness or evilness, but knowledge, wisdom from Father's Word. I thank our Father for that. He brought us to this time and this place, and I thank Him for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the written word. We thank you, Father, for the knowledge that you grant us concerning this city and what shall happen to her. Father, the gathering place of the crowd, Megiddo, meaning in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon, is that final city. Let us be prepared for her. We ask it in Yeshua Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen.
To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645, 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.